We have all noticed, haven't we, this morning, the age of the people up here? Yes. Yeah, you've taken that into account, haven't you? Yep. Amelia and Ted, Broden reading, Catherine leading us in singing. Yes, some of us might be getting to the top of the ladder. Heaven mightn't be far away. So we are very thankful for the youth of the church taking a lead in this way. Please pray for them. Please support them. Times have changed since we grew up, some of us who are older. Yeah, well, Joey, did I mention Joey? I'm sorry. Joey, sorry. Heading the whole show. Yeah, but no, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, Luke chapter 4. As you came in this morning, not only did you receive a focus, but you probably received one of these, which is the next week with Jesus the Messiah, preparation for ministry. And we've heard from Dion, preparation for ministry, and we've just sung, this was God's only plan. So he had a plan for ministry too. Sometimes we think, oh, we'll just shove stuff together and that'll do. No, God never just shoves stuff together. God had a plan, and we need to be people in that way too. Right, well, preparation for ministry. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is now on me because he has anointed me. We're looking at Isaiah linked with Luke and just going through bit by bit. So it may be that the same verse is the verse for a few weeks as we unpack it, but we are extending it as well. So today we're going into Luke chapter 4. What have we had? Well, last week we had the prophecies fulfilled. The week before that we had John the Baptist. Overall, we are looking at Jesus the Messiah, the one people waited for, and hopefully the one we are waiting for again to renew our faith and re-enthuse at Easter. But as we look at Jesus the Messiah, we also look at ourselves. So today, yes, Jesus is prepared for ministry, and we ask ourselves, am I prepared for ministry? What am I going to do in ministry? How well prepared am I? How has God prepared me? And you can see there, baptism and dove, temptation and Satan. And it's interesting, isn't it, how the Spirit is involved in both of those situations. And we need to be aware that the Spirit led Jesus into the situation of temptation. He didn't cause him to sin, but he led him, and we'll look at that in a minute. But we've got baptism as it was an affirmation of God. Here I am, baptized, and then here I am, tested. And I think that's a combination for us. Our affirmation that we are a child of God and that we have made a commitment. And as Ted said, how sad that some of the people that we knew who had made a commitment have walked away. And then, day by day, there is that ongoing temptation. Right. This is my beloved son, God said at the baptism, with whom I am well pleased, I am delighted, I am thrilled. How wonderful. The question simply comes to us. We who have been baptized, is God still able to delight in us? Have we gone on and is God still able to say, this is my child. I am so pleased with them. Again, I say, not knowing what Ted was going to say, but yeah, Lots of people who have been baptized have just walked away. And how sad it is. One of our good friends I've mentioned before, who used to lead Beach Mission with me, she died last year, but she died when we had seen her, who had said, when I was a Christian. And Helen and I have talked a couple of times and just said, what does God do with a person like that when they die? Well, that's up to him. But we all have people like that on our hearts who are sad. So what had Jesus done up to this point? Well, I guess he'd made a couple of television cabinets and repaired a few chairs in the first 30 years of his life. In those 30 years of his life, he just would have dealt, like most shopkeepers, so to speak, difficult people who didn't pay their bills. I didn't want the chair made like this. I wanted the chair made like... And that was 30 years of getting to know people. Getting to know people. Then there's 40 days of temptation where he gets to know a very different situation. Friends, he worked as a carpenter, so... a Dion as well. Don't ever, please, underestimate your work situation. Please. We had a guy come to us who wanted to be a Baptist pastor, Arthur. He had run a fish and chip shop down on the beachfront. And he had run a Bible study for people who lived in some of those big, you know, boarding houses there. And when he came, we said, Arthur, why? Why do you want to be a minister, Baptist minister of all things? Why do you want to be a Baptist pastor? You're running a Bible study for people no one else deals with. Stay there and do that. No, he didn't want to. So I want to say, friends, wherever God has put us, how important that we are the minister of Jesus there. Don't strive for something else. Don't think being the pastor of a church is the ultimate. That's not. I reckon if you're in a wheelchair sitting home praying, you might be doing far more effectively than me. Friends, let's just use where God has put us for his glory, because you, in your situation, you are unique. Please let God use you. So God delights us being one of his children. And we need to ask, where does my sense of identity come from? If it comes from my work, we are in big trouble. If it comes from anything you've got, you are in big trouble. Our sense of identity has to come from the Father. That's where our sense of identity comes from and our obedience to him. So, baptism, this is my beloved son. The other time we hear that phrase is at the transfiguration, when Jesus is transfigured and he's with a few of his disciples, and we hear the voice again from God saying, this is my beloved son, my chosen one I've got up there, the one with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him and obey. That's interesting, isn't it? The voice from heaven is saying, not only is this my son, but you who are here, listen and then obey. These are the words from heaven. So, Jesus has the affirmation of the Father very powerfully, the voice from heaven. And we often see that pictured as a dove. Listen and obey. Now we move on to the temptations. And this is what Broden read to us. The temptations. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he was baptized, led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness and tempted by the devil. Now this is what the wilderness has been described as. Between Jerusalem and the central plateau, a backbone of Palestine and the Dead Sea, there is a place which is called the Devastation, which is the wilderness. It's about 45 by 20 kilometres in area. And this is how it's been described. It's an area of yellow sand, crumbling limestone and shattered rock, contorted strata. It is really like a dust heap. Limestone, blistered rocks that are bare and jagged. Often the ground sounds hollow when you walk upon it. In summer, it glows with heat like a furnace. It runs right down to the Red Sea, to the Dead Sea. So you've just got the idea of what it is, the wilderness that Jesus went to, not to a lovely forest to sit and meditate. Now, Jesus is alone because we're told he's alone, and then he reports it back, obviously, to his disciples, so that's how we've got the story. But this is an interesting challenge for us, isn't it? When are you alone with God? When do you cut out all other noise? Sometimes for brekkie, I sit on our front veranda and I watch people walking their dogs or just walking up and down. And they've got plugs in their ears and they're pushing a pram quickly, or they're walking with the poor dog. I think the walk is for them, not for the dog. But I'm interested, friends, when do you have time for God to speak? I've got up there that God often speaks when we're alone with him. But do we give him the chance? Do we give him the chance? When do you turn your phone off? When do you walk away from the computer? When do you stop gaming? When do you hear the still, small voice of God? Or doesn't it matter that you don't? Now, it mattered to Jesus, of course, because not here, but in other situations we read that of a morning or early, he would go off to a hill or a place. So friends, there's lots of noise in society, lots of noise. We find it difficult to sit quietly and be quiet. But we have to recapture that if we want to hear the voice of God. It's no good having a 5-minute Bible reading and rushing off. We need to read and think, God, what really have you said to me in that time? Or what do you want to say to me? Or taking time in our day to actually sit and think. Or just to ponder a verse. What is God saying? Put away computer. Put away phone. As people say, we've got so much communication, but no one's listening. You've got 5,000 friends on a machine, but have you got a friend at all? So we are Christians. The voice of God wants to speak to us. God wants to talk with us and communicate. And friends, we need to cut out some of the other silly rubbish that we allowed to come into our mind. Because what will happen is that will take over. And we need to be very careful. So we need to cut out noise so that God can speak. Jesus is by himself, as I've said. He told his disciples. So we are reminded that all of us who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. And also we are reminded that God doesn't tempt anyone. We've just seen that in James. Please also be reminded that being tempted is not sin. Just because temptation comes, that doesn't mean you have sinned. Temptation comes to everyone, and it will keep coming all of our Christian life. It didn't just stop once with Jesus. He was tempted many times. So, friends, temptation is not sin. God tests us. Why? To purify us and to strengthen us as believers. What does Satan want to do? He wants us to fail. He wants us to give up. So his approach is very, very different. What we see here, both with his baptism and his temptation, is the heart of Jesus in preparation for Calvary. And again, it's lovely how Ted has linked that situation, talking about dying to self. Here we see Jesus dying to self over and over again as an example to us of our Christian life. Each day, making decisions, this way, that way, how will I go? But this is the heart and the preparation for Calvary. Now, you've heard 1,000 sermons on these temptations, many, many sermons. But let's just remind ourselves of a couple of things. Stones to bread. After 40 days, I guess you're fairly hungry. And, here are all of these rocks lying around. Here is the Son of God. Can speak to one and it can be a loaf of bread and that can appease the hunger. But Jesus knows that there's something coming. And what's coming is that he should not be tempted by the instant. And I've got that there. Friends, we need to be careful that when temptation comes, instant gratification doesn't work in. Because it's very easy. Temptation, give in. I'm entitled to it, or it should be. We need to be very careful. Jesus realised, I think, that later in his ministry, people were going to want bread. People are always wanting to get something for nothing. They're always wanting to be fed. But no, man doesn't live by bread alone. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew giving a person a loaf of bread might be okay for the minute, but it didn't really solve the spiritual problem. And I think that's one of the issues that we have faced in ministry to those who are either poor or needy. I'm not saying we should stop that. I think we should desperately do that. But what I'm saying is that where do we go the next step? How do we bring people to understand about Jesus rather than just a loaf of bread? Now, a loaf of bread certainly can be an entry. It's vital that people are fed. But we who are believers want to say, oh, there's something far more important than having a meal. Not sometimes, but there is far more important having a meal. It's knowing about Jesus, who is the bread of life, the one who can satisfy. So Jesus was not going to fall for the trap of me now satisfy my hunger. Might be a decision we need to make at another level or a different level. We need to take that in. The next thing is, if you can't win on that, well, he says, I'll take you to a spot and you can throw yourself down and that sensation can be terrific. Malachi, and we remember Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, 430 years to John the Baptist, he said, the Lord or the Messiah who you seek will suddenly come to his temple. That's a quote from Malachi. So it may be that Satan said, if we go up there and, you throw yourself down, But have a look what's in brackets there. Where is Satan leading? Worship me. Don't worship your father. Don't be obedient to your father. Worship me. That's where he's leading. Friends, be careful. Use your brain and think, where is this leading? If I make this decision and I give in at this point, where is that actually leading? It is possibly leading to the changing of your allegiance. that you move your allegiance from God to Satan or the other track. Popularity, leadership, sensation, misuse of power, all of these things could come up at this point, and it's dangerous. Throw yourself down. Be careful. I want to say that Satan is not stupid, and he is able to look at our abilities. Satan is going to attack us on our gifts. So those who are singers or leaders up the front, you're going to be attacked on that ability. And unless that's given back through the cross, you will want to make that popularity. God is not silly either. So he says, protect yourself and be careful. Spiritual gifts. You know, some people, oh, I've got these spiritual gifts. They are not given for you. They're given for us. They're given for us. So many of you have read stories of people, pastors, leaders in churches, who were great gifted evangelists, but they just went overboard and thought they were invincible. And they weren't, because Satan attacks the fact that they feel that they can't be got to. But boom, they can. So friends, please know what God has given you. Know what you are good at. Know what your gifts are. But be careful. Just put up a little barrier to make sure that that gift always goes back through the cross, and then it's used for ministry, not for you. Now, the third thing that Satan says is, and this I've got there is perhaps the most dangerous challenge, and that's the challenge of, look, have a look all around. Have a look all around. I will give you all of this if you will only, if you will only do what I am asking you. I will give you, if you've got your Bibles there in Luke, I will give you all of this authority. How amazing. If you will take another way but Calvary, if you will go another way, if you'll throw yourself down and angels will lift you up. Oh, don't go through Calvary. So, this is the easy way out. Friends, don't take the easy way out, because as soon as we take the easy way out, we are in big strife, big trouble. So Jesus says, no way. I will worship the Lord. I will worship my God. So what do they do? These three things. They challenge Jesus' power, his submission to the Father, and his choice. And that's always what happens with us. When Satan comes with a temptation, it's how effective is Jesus in you? Who are you taking notice of, and what choice are you going to make? Whatever age we're at. And I think temptations come to people of all ages at different levels. You know, when you get to a certain age, well, we would say, perhaps with young people, relationships, sexual temptation. As people get older, well, we've actually got a very nice house. Come over for lunch. It's not really that I want to sit and talk to you about Jesus or that we want to share fellowship. I just want you to have a look at what the house I've got. Or just have a look in the car park at that car that I've just bought. Or did you know we've been overseas? Friends, so what? So what? We want to talk about Jesus. Or how nice to go to someone's place and at the end of having a meal with them, let's just pray together for a minute. It just changes the whole tone of what's happened. So let's be careful And let's not think that because we get to a certain age, temptation has gone. It hasn't. It never went once and for all with Jesus, and it won't for us. And it will change, it will vary. Different things. And if we're victorious in one area, well, Satan will come in at another level. So let's be very, very careful about this. I've said this many times, but let me say it again. He accuses us. He attacks our personality. If you will only do this, or are you really a Christian when you do this? Are you really a Christian? He deceives us. He comes as an angel of light. He misquotes scripture. Just be aware and alert, please. He is a liar. Be warned. Jesus is our example. And just to finish, God and Satan are not equals. Don't think God and Satan are the same. As it were, not the same person. God is the creator. Satan is a created being. We need to keep that. So when we are tempted, we have power to say to Satan, "Nick off. I am one of God's children." So submit to God, but get that order right, please. First of all, submit, resist, and then Satan flees. Quote scripture. That's what Jesus did. Victory is always through the cross, and we will always have temptation. So don't think you're a failure because there's temptation. Because that will come. It came to Jesus, it will come to us. So that's where we stand. Friends, with baptism and the affirmation that we are children of God came the dove. Temptation will come and Satan will not leave God's people alone. He didn't leave Jesus alone. So he won't leave us alone. But our background, our family life, our education, our training, our career, all of that has prepared us to minister for Jesus. So let's take all that God has done with us to this point and say thank you. Mightn't have all been pleasant, but thank you very much. And I want to use it for your glory. There was a time when I made a commitment to you, in a way, whether that was baptism or something else, that's secondary, but a commitment to you, and I'm going to move on with you. You've prepared me for ministry, and now I'm moving on to minister in the name of Jesus. Jesus' preparation for his ministry as the chosen one. Each one of us, friends, for our ministry as the chosen one. Now, not the same as him, I know, but each one chosen by God and known by God. How wonderful is that? Not only chosen by God, but anointed by God, blessed by God, because we are his children to minister in his name, prepared and anointed and sent. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, just as Jesus was chosen, anointed, the dove from heaven, the voice from heaven, our Father, we come and we thank you that you have spoken to us. We have heard in some way your voice saying, "Come and follow me." We know what it is to be tempted and challenged, but we also thank you that we have victory over Satan. And so we can say, "I am a child of God. Resist and you need to flee." So, Father, whatever the week holds in store for any of us, we thank you that we are your children, chosen, anointed, appointed, and we go out in the name of the living God to share his message. Yep, we know temptation will come, but we stand firm on the finished work of Jesus, and we claim his victory, not ours, but his. And Father, we thank you that you have prepared us for ministry in a variety of ways. Now we ask that we would minister and use your preparation and your power, for we ask it through Jesus. Amen.